Hey, welcome back to Fashion Again. I am so excited to get back to our regular episodes now, and I've decided to mark this as like sort of the start to season two or like year two since it is an educational show. So yeah, it's pretty exciting. But there are a couple of updates I want to share about Fashion before we get into the episode. And the first of those is that you'll now be able to read all of the main Fashion episodes, like the Wednesday ones, not the short Pack Fridays, but the main episodes will all be on Substack as articles. If you either just like prefer to read over listening, or maybe there's like a time where you can't listen and it would be easier to read, or you forgot your headphones or whatever, the articles will come out on Thursday, so the podcast will still have the information first. But there will also be some additional things that's posted on Substack that aren't part of the podcast, like eco shopping or gift guides, things like that. So I'll always have links to it in the show notes, and you can even subscribe to it to get the articles delivered right to your email, or you can download the Substack app and follow along on there if you want to have it on your phone. But yeah, this is a pretty exciting update for me, and I'm glad to have kind of multiple resources. So the second thing is that I also came across this really cool app called Book Clubs. I actually joined a book club on it from, I think it was from a TikTok, and I've set up a channel for FashEd for our book and movie club. And it's really cool because anyone can post messages about the books or about anything else really, and leave suggestions for books to read. The schedule for the next couple of months, with the exception of I think November, because I haven't decided between a couple books for then, is up. So if you want to get ahead with your reading or just kind of see what's on the agenda, that is there. And there's even the option to have like virtual book club meetings through the app, which we don't have any scheduled now. But that's definitely something that's possible in the future if, like enough people join in and are interested. So, along with the book club, this is just a reminder too that you can always see the book club picks and a ton of other reading suggestions on different areas of fashion, like luxury, eco fashion, notable people in fashion. I forget all of the categories that I have on there, but there's a bunch and more through the bookshop link that's usually in the show notes anytime books are mentioned. I'll try to include that in all of the episodes too, just to make it a little bit easier. And any purchases that you make through this bookshop link support both FashEd and independent bookstores. So I love that. And then while we're talking about it, I might as well mention here that the next book and movie club pick for August is the movie The September Issue. It's available on Amazon to rent for just a couple of dollars. I rewatched it the other day. I won't say too much about it now, but I will say just to pay attention to the little details that you can learn about fashion magazine publishing from comments made by some of the people interviewed. I also loved all of Grace Coddington's commentary throughout it. So, yeah, that's that on the September issue for now. We'll talk more about it in the first Wednesday in September's episode. Okay, so last update for now. I still haven't found any new intro music I like for the podcast, but that'll be something that'll be changing again probably in the next few episodes, hopefully, so that we have something that will stick even if Anchor changes the sounds that it provides. So, okay, I think that's everything for the updates for now. So, let's get to this book and movie club pick, Fashionopolis. I will say, last thing, this is definitely a little bit of a longer episode than usual, but there's just so much information in this book. Okay, so like I mentioned, this book is just so insanely full of information that I decided to do this episode a little bit differently and just pick 10 things that I learned from the book. I would also love to hear what your favorite parts of the book were. So feel free to always send me like DMs on Instagram or an email if you want. Those are both always in the notes too. But I'm just gonna go through them in the order that they came up in the book to keep it kind of easy. And when I list them, I will give direct quotes right from the book so nothing gets confused. So yeah, let's get right to it. So first, we have right from the introduction that conventionally grown cotton is one of agriculture's most polluting crops. Almost 1 kilogram or 2.2 pounds of hazardous pesticides is required to grow 1 hectare or 2.5 acres of the fluff. So I think the reason that this is so surprising is because cotton, like as a natural fiber, at least in my opinion, is usually presented as one of the better options for buying apparel. And while it breaks down easier than synthetics, the amount of environmental damage caused by the production of like typical cotton is crazy. So I thought this just did a really good job of showing why it's important to pay attention to the type of cotton you're buying and to choose better options like organic or recycled cotton rather than just traditional cotton. I'm gonna try not to linger on any of these quotes too long so the episode stays relatively short. So moving right on to number two, which you might have seen this one posted on the fashion Instagram, is fashion employs 1 out of 6 people on the globe, making it the most labor-intensive industry out there, more than agriculture, more than defense. Fewer than 2% of them earn a living wage. So this one is why I talk so much about labor conditions and things like the International Accord that work towards bettering working conditions for garment workers. And that was a few episodes ago if you haven't listened yet. I think it's a actually pretty short one. So I think it's also important to point out here that this isn't just talking about like quote unquote fashion in the way that people sometimes think of fashion as things you see on magazines or influencers wearing, things like that, but it really encompasses the entire apparel industry. So even if you're someone or trying to explain this to someone who doesn't consider themselves to be like interested in, again, like quote unquote fashion, any kind of clothing production, like just simple things like socks, plain white t-shirts, denim, which we'll talk about in detail more later on, has an impact on the production process, if that makes sense. So, really paying attention to brands that share if they pay a living wage to their employees throughout their whole supply chain is a great way to help combat this problem. So, moving right along to the next quote, speaking about the estimated 45,000 apparel production workers in Los Angeles around 2017, the president of the California Fashion Association shared that about half were on the books and paid at least the California minimum wage, which was then $10.50 an hour. The other half were undocumented, sewing garments for US-based brands in clandestine factories for as little as $4 an hour. No overtime, no health benefits, horrendous conditions. Yet the large middle market brands who source from these sweatshops herald that their apparel is, quote, made in the USA, as if such a statement automatically confers on authenticity and integrity. So I picked this statement out and I think it really speaks for itself, but just to point out that even when garments are made in the US, it definitely doesn't mean workers are treated in fair and respectable ways. And there's a lot more on this in the book, just like everything else. And it starts around page 40 if you want to go over this section a little more. So, moving on again, we've talked a lot about the Rana Plaza fire, but here I wanted to point out another factory fire discussed in the book, the Tazreen Fashion Factory fire. And there's a section where a worker who was present for the fire shared that a man came up and shouted that there was a fire. Her manager and supervisor assured everyone that nothing was amiss. Quote, "There is no fire, just go back and keep working," they told the workers and locked the door. So with this quote, again, there's so much more in the book, but what I really wanted to point out here is that the garment workers were locked into their workplace. Not only just not allowed to leave, but physically locked into the rooms. So this is just like a tip of the iceberg of conditions in factories like Tazreen and Toronto Plaza, but I think it's important to learn as much as we can about what workers are being put through to produce apparel for the companies that operate in these factories which are a lot of big name brands that, you know, produce millions and millions of garments a year. So now getting back to cotton a little bit, this next quote says, conventional cotton is also extremely thirsty. To grow 1 kilo requires, on average, 26,000 gallons or 10,000 liters of water. Processing it swallows even more, approximately 5,000 gallons for one t-shirt and a pair of jeans. So this, I think, is another quote that just kind of speaks for itself, but I wanted to bring it up again because this is a natural fabric that is still not great for the environment, but a lot of times companies that are producing items from cotton in better ways will point out the average gallons and liters that they're saving. So that's definitely a good thing to keep in mind when you're shopping and just kind of pay attention to companies that are bringing that up are definitely producing in better ways. So next, I wanted to add in this little bit here just because I thought that it was a really great way to explain slow fashion. So the quote says, slow fashion champions localization and regionalism rather than massification. It honors craftsmanship and respects tradition while embracing modern technology to make production cleaner and more efficient. It's about treating workers well and buying from the person down the street whose face you know and love. So this emphasis on buying local is something that's really been on my mind lately. I feel like when I get something that can only be found in a specific location and isn't mass produced to be shipped around the world, I have so much more appreciation for it, and it makes me feel more connected to the place that I got it from. So I think that by focusing on locally produced items like this, we can find not only really great quality and unique things that are less damaging to the world, but we'll also probably hang on to them longer and not toss or donate them after a few wears. Okay, so this next thing I learned is something that has stuck with me so much since I first read this book a few years ago. Like, so much so that I think about it almost every time I put on any kind of denim, which maybe hasn't been quite super often these past couple years, but is definitely often enough that this is like part of my weekly thoughts. So, just as a note, this quote is spread out over a few pages, starting from around page 136. But, like I mentioned before, these will all be cited in the article that comes out tomorrow. But if you have any questions or want to know specifically where any quotes came from throughout any of the episode, just send me a message and I'll let you know. Okay, but getting to this quote, this is like definitely was the most shocking thing that I think I read. So almost all denim we wear, 99.9%, is dyed with synthetic indigo. What is not publicized, what the apparel industry discreetly sidesteps, is that synthetic indigo is made of 10 chemicals, including petroleum, benzene, cyanide, formaldehyde, that are toxic or harmful to humans. And I had to just include like a part two to this one, which is on page 138. So here is the part two. For it, they use a chemical called aniline. The EPA classifies aniline as a group B2 probable human carcinogen, meaning it may cause cancer, and the US Center for Disease Control and Prevention has declared it very toxic to aquatic life. So like I said, this like was something that actually made me like stop reading the book and just kind of like stare at what I had just read. I couldn't believe that so many denim products are knowingly being created with synthetic dyes that have such harmful health risks, like including cancer for humans and death for aquatic life. And what's worse is that after this, I tried so hard to find denim that's produced with true indigo, and it's actually really difficult. So maybe I'll do a separate episode covering brands that I found that do, because this episode's already getting super long. So sticking with materials, but now moving on to leather, here is a quote from Stella McCartney on leather production. Livestock production is one of the major causes of global warming, land degradation, air and water pollution, and loss of biodiversity. with more than 50 million animals farmed and slaughtered each year just to make handbags and shoes. So, leather and faux leather are so hard because there's this component of animal cruelty along with environmental damage with leather production. But a lot of the faux leathers out there, which we'll get to in a minute, aren't great either. And it's hard for me to even wrap my head around that many animals being harmed every year. And this is one of the reasons that I became so interested in alternative materials like Mylo, which was one of the super early episodes of Fash Ed, I think maybe episode 3 or something. And it's a leather-like material made out of mycelium. This comes up a little bit later too, in this episode, but I just really can't wait until fabrics like this can be made more mainstream because the options we have now just aren't working. And getting now to one of the fabrics that's used for faux leather, here's a little bit on PVC. PVC is one of the most pervasive plastics today. In fashion, it is used for transparent shoe heels, vinyl raincoats, synthetic patent leather, and the flexible tubing inside handbag handles. But it is a known carcinogen, and when it biodegrades, it releases poisons into the soil and water table. This was another thing that was just shocking to me when I read it, that so many items are being made with these materials that are proven to be carcinogens. So, finally, now getting to the last thing that I picked out for this episode, we have a bit of good news on biofabrics like Mylo that are being developed. With biofabrication, there is no waste. You cultivate what you need, and as it is animal-free, it is vegan. So I just wanted to add this in here kind of as the last thing for a little bit of hope after this episode that has had so many negative things about fashion. But these materials really do seem like one of the best ways for the apparel industry to move forward towards less harmful production processes, to me at least. And I will definitely do more episodes on biomaterials like Mylo, like some of the others, which there's like cactus leather, pineapple leather. There's just a whole bunch being developed, but none have really made it to the stages where they can be used for mainstream, like large amounts of production at a time. So I will definitely do more updates as progress is made. So I know this episode was a little bit longer compared to most, so thank you if you listened until the end. It was honestly so hard to narrow it down just to these 10 pieces of information to pick out from the book, and I really just cannot emphasize enough how much more you can learn from Fashionopolis when you read it. I don't know, maybe even in the future we'll do like a part two of Fashionopolis to go over more of this stuff because there's just really so much in there. So let me know what you think if you read it and some of the points that were most interesting or helpful for you. And as always, there will be links to everything in the show notes, including the book club's link, a bookshop link for Fashionopolis, a link to the Substack for reading articles, and a link for the next book and movie club pick, the September issue. Like I said, you can rent it for just a couple dollars on Amazon. So reviews are also super appreciated too. So if you have time to leave one on Apple Podcasts or even just submit like a star rating on Spotify or any other platform, I would love that. So, okay, that is all now finally, and I'll be ready to share more with you Friday for Fact Friday.